Now we're in the third part, the second reading, which is from the first letter of John, chapter 3. Two introductory verses, and then an application of them later on in the letter, verses 21 to 24. So it begins then with chapter 3, verse 1. See what kind of love the Father has given us. Now, when you pray, try to get a sense of this wonder that we be called children of God. And we are. Now, this is the kind of love that the Father has given us, that we should be called technotheou, children of God. Can you imagine? We're God's children. We're called that, and that's what we are. You see? Then he goes on, Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet appeared what we will be. There's more. Here in this fragile flesh, you know, we're still living, sharing God's life. A child shares the life of those who beget him. So God begets us, we share his life. And that's why, you see, the world can't get that. The text, we skip some verses, but in the text it says there, because of this, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. And now we're children, but what we shall be has not yet appeared. Then, the text skips. We need that introduction so we understand what the foundation is for what he's going to say now. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence relating to God. What a blessing if our heart condemns us, so that we know enough to go back to God, ask pardon, and be reinstated. The worst thing that can happen to someone is that, you see, his heart, her heart, does not condemn them. Now, you can have such a hardened heart that it hardly can condemn. That's very dangerous. You see? A heart that can condemn is a blessing. A heart that does not condemn is a greater blessing, because it means that God is working in us and we're acting like children. We're acting like his children, which means we're loving, we're forgiving, you see, we're generous, you see, we're acting like God. We have a family resemblance to God because of the Holy Spirit. And so that's what he's saying here, you see, in these next five verses. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, then we know that we have confidence relating to God. Now, our hearts will condemn us if we let them. The very depth of our being will witness to our darkness and lead us, move us, almost force us back to God. But if we harden that heart, there's no hope. It was instance after instance, in some ways we all have them. You get really sick and you start to think, what am I doing with my life? What am I doing with my life? See, that's when our heart can start to condemn us again. You're living in sin. You're selfish. You're not thinking of others. And, you know, you're not faithful to your spouse or whatever. Or you're just consumed, you know, with the concupiscence of the eyes, concupiscence of the flesh, and the pride of life. All that is in the world, as earlier in this letter, we've already been told. You see? And so, you see, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God. Provided we let our hearts condemn us, if they should. But if we turn away, spend our time glued to the television and the movie set and the newspaper and the latest gossip and the latest sports event and the latest whatever and the latest pornography, our heart cannot get through to condemn us. It does anyway, but that's why people are uneasy. There's nothing more disturbing than to be in a group and listen to the hollowness of the laughter. It's not laughter at all. It's escape. And because of all these things. Or then go into a group where people love the Lord. They're sinners, but they're trying. And their heart does not condemn them. And listen to the different quality of the laughter, of the tone of voice, of the relationship, of the affection. You see? And that's what he's saying, you see? If our hearts do not condemn us, and we're letting our hearts condemn us, and they do not, then we have confidence relating to God. And if we ask something, we receive it from him. Isn't that beautiful? You see? Because we keep his commandments, and we practice what is pleasing in his sight. He's pleased with us. Isn't it amazing that God is pleased with us? Now, he's pleased with us because he has showered us with mercy. But we've accepted the mercy. We don't deserve it. If God is pleased with us, it's because he's shown us mercy. And so, that's the fruit of this mercy, you see. In this, that is, that we ask something from him and we receive it. Because we keep his commandments and practice what is pleasing in his sight. Now, if we do that, it is the work of his Spirit in us. It's in yielding to the Spirit. Of course, we're always living, having been and being forgiven. But we're moving toward God by his mercy. And there's peace and there's joy. And that, you see, remember what he's saying here, you see? We have confidence. We're talking about family. We belong to God's family. And that's what's being said, you see. We ask something, we receive it from him. Because we keep his commandments and we practice what is pleasing in his sight because he is our Father. And we belong to this family. The family of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. An infinitely blissful, radiant, immense love. A family. There, you see, is the family. And as Paul says, writing to the Ephesians, you see, I bend my knees to the one from whom all patrida, all fatherhood, all family come. The Father is the source of all fruitfulness in this world, starting from a little amoeba and going up to the human being. See? And so, for God is greater than our hearts and knows everything. See, we can reassure our hearts because God knows them. And he's bearing witness to us that he loves us. Not that we're so great. So we're overwhelmed by mercy. And that's the point, you see. And so now we go on to look at, and if we ask him for something, you see, then he gives this to us. And this is his commandment. We want to keep God's commandment? This is the commandment. Two aspects. We believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. That is, we believe in the reality that is named of his Son, Jesus Christ. And we love each other as he has given us command. That's the Christian life. Believing and loving. You see? And then goes on, and the one keeping his commandment abides in him, and he in that one. Mutual abiding. Abiding is a very dynamic movement. It's not just plop, abide. You see? And in this we know, and this is the climax of this treatise on divine family, this one. In this we know that he abides in us from the Spirit which he gave us, or whom he gave us. When the Spirit bears witness to us that we are the children of God. Now that is such a precious gift that as we begin to experience it, we don't want to offend God at all. In any way, we don't want to offend God because of love. Not because of fear. Not because we'll get a good deal. But because of love. And that's how he concludes this section. Why? Why does the church conclude there? Well, the chapter concludes there. Chapter 3, verse 24. It's because we're talking about family. You see? And in this we know that his life, he abides in us. We're part of his family. The Holy Spirit, you see, abides in us. The Holy Spirit witnesses to us, lets us know that we're part of God's family. And that's for all eternity. That's why, as he's already said, we are now God's children, and what we shall be has not yet appeared. The glory of this child relationship, when it reaches its fullness forever in heaven, still animated, given life by the Holy Spirit, is unutterable. It is so beautiful. We just don't see God as though he were a movie. See is the most powerful of the senses. We understand him. We love him. We're glad to be with him. We know him. That's the kind of seeing. And we touch him. And we live by him. All of this, you see, is given to us. And in this we know that he abides in us now. From the Spirit which he gave us. There was a very great woman, Sister Elizabeth, and she called herself Elizabeth of the Trinity. And her whole life was spent worshipping and adoring the Trinity who dwelt within her. She's a very great French holy woman. Let's belong to that family.